Hello everyone. In lesson 4, we concluded the chapter 4 of Micah. We saw how a deliverer was going to come in the last days to deliver his people and establish a golden age on earth. Chapter 5 of Micah could be divided into four sections or four time periods. 1. Birth of the king. 2. Rejection of the king. 3. The time between the rejection and the return of the king. And 4. The return of the king. Chapter 5, verse 1 start with the distress of the Jewish nation. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with the rod. That's the New International Version. The King James Version start with like this: Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Here we see two different names. One is they call, O daughter of troops. And the New International Version says, O city of troops. And in King James Version, it says, Smite the judge of Israel. In NIV, it says, Strike Israel's ruler. Both have the same meaning. It is a summons to Zion's enemies. Gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. Micah called her the city of troops or daughter of troops. Micah looked ahead to the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem. So many soldiers were gathered in Jerusalem. He has laid siege against us. I quote, King of Assyria and King of Babylon had prevailed over Israel and smote the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek, that I quote. The judges and leaders of Israel were abusing their powers and they were humiliated by the enemies. They smote them on their cheek with a rod after they captured them as prisoners. King Zedekiah and his officers tried to escape, and the Babylonians captured them and humiliated the king by striking him with a rod across his face. Then they killed his sons, put out his eyes, bound him, and took him to Babylon. We read this incident in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 1 through 7. Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5 refer to Messiah. God selected the little town of Bethlehem as the place where the King of the Jews was to be born. It was this prophecy that the priests shared with the Magi who came to Jerusalem looking for the king. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem inquiring about the king of the Jews. King Herod was troubled and asked the chief priests and scribes where Christ would be born. They answered, "In Bethlehem in Judea." They quoted what the prophet has written. Matthew chapter 2, 6, I quote, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Ephrathah was the place where Jacob's wife Rachel was buried. In Genesis 35:19, "And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrathah, which is Bethlehem." Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel, died near Bethlehem when she gave birth to Benjamin, and she was buried nearby. Matthew quotes Jeremiah, where Rachel's name was mentioned when he reports the slaying of the innocent children by King Herod. Matthew chapter 2:18, "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." That's from Jeremiah 31:15. "In her pain, Rachel named her son Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. But Jacob renamed the boy, calling him Benjamin, son of my right hand." These two names remind us of our Lord's suffering and glory, the cross and the throne at the Father's right hand. Bible talk about a love story that happened in Bethlehem, the story of Ruth and Boaz. Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi came to Bethlehem. Boaz fell in love with Ruth and married her. The book of Ruth describes the love story of Ruth and Boaz. Ruth is an ancestress of the Messiah. Matthew chapter 1 verse 5. King David was the great grandson of Boaz and Ruth, and it was through David's family that the promised Messiah would be born. The Jews knew that their Messiah would come from Bethlehem. John chapter 7:42, people ask the question, "Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Luke chapter 2 verse 4, I quote, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David." Joseph went to Bethlehem with Mary, who was expecting the child Jesus. They went there to register after Caesar Augustus issued a decree. Micah reveals a number of important facts about the Messiah. He is eternal God, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Verse chapter 2 of chapter 5. King James Bible chapter 5:4, "And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." Son of God chose to be born in a humble stable in Bethlehem, but the day is coming that he shall return to be ruler over his people. The Messiah, the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting, from the days of eternity, I quote. The ruler comes from Bethlehem in time, but his activities have been from eternity, from ancient days. His going forth were in creation, preservation, providence, theophanies, and redemptive activity. The eternal pre-existence of the Messiah is thus strongly presented. I quote it from Scofield Study Bible. Psalm 102, verse 25. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, Jacob blessed his son Judah. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. Micah chapter 5, 3, therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in the labor gives birth and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. Israel will be abandoned until the time. What time? One, until the time when she who is in the labor gives birth. I quote, between the cross and the kingdom age, Israel will be given up by the Lord and by the Lord until the time when Jesus returns and the nation is born into her kingdom. Though the outgoings of the Messiah were from everlasting, yet the redemption in Jerusalem, the consolation of Israel, must be waited for until the time that she who should bring forth. So the Virgin Mary is called as Christ is himself called, he that shall come, shall bring forth, and in the meantime he will give them up. Divine salvation must be waited for until the time fixed for the bringing of them forth. Matthew Henry's commentary. When Jesus was presented in the temple, Simon or Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, was moved by the Holy Spirit and took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Luke 2:29-32. Simeon said to Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. Same time, the prophetess Anna came forward and thanked God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Luke chapter 2:38. 2. The remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. That's verse 3. The remnant of the Jewish nation shall return to the spirit of the true children of Israel, a people in covenant with God. Something it is all believers, both Jews and Gentiles. The Jewish people from all over the world would be gathered together under one king. Hebrews 2:11, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Micah chapter 5, verse 4. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Messiah will be a shepherd to his people and care for his flock. He would be a glorious prince, and his people would be happy under his government. He would teach and rule in justice and peace. He was the strength of the Lord. He is with majesty and power of the name of the Lord, his God. He shall be great to the ends of the earth. All are secure under him. No more war and poverty, no more sufferings. Everyone live in peace. Micah chapter 5, 5 through 6. When the Assyrian invaders, when Assyrian invades our land and marches through our fortresses, we will raise against him 7 shepherds, even 8 leaders of men. They will rule the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod with drawn sword. He will deliver us from the Assyrian when he invades our land and marches into our borders. That I quote. It is interesting to note that the Assyrian mentioned here is not the real Assyrian army, because during Micah's day, Israel never defeated them. The Assyrians defeated Israel and the land was ruined. So here Micah was talking about Israel's enemy in the last days when all nations will gather against her. The Assyrian is another way of saying the enemy. And here it refers to their enemies in the last days. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 9. On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. Prophet Zechariah described how the Lord was going to destroy Israel's enemies in the last days. The phrase 7 shepherds, 8 leaders, or principal men, that's in King James, is a way of saying many shepherds and many leaders. When the enemy attacks in the last days, God will raise up leaders to face the enemy. But Micah makes it clear that God is the deliverer who will enable Israel to defeat her enemies and rule over their lands. Matthew Henry's commentary states that, then shall we rise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. That is a competent number of persons, men that shall have the care and tenderness of shepherds and the courage and authority of principal men or princes of men. 7 and 8 are a certain number for an uncertain. Magistrates and ministers are shepherds and principal men raised in defense of religions, righteous cause against the powers of sin and Satan in the world. I quote, remnant of Jacob, Micah chapter 5, 7 through 15. Glorious things are spoken of the remnant of Jacob. Verses 7 through 8, the remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which do not wait for man or linger for mankind. The remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, which mauls and mangles as it goes, and no one can rescue. Micah announced that Israel's future enemies would be defeated, and the Jewish remnant would be blessed, and the nation would be purged of its sins. Though small in number, the Jewish remnant of the last days will experience great help from the Lord as they face their enemies. Micah used 2 illustrations. 1, the refreshing dew from heaven, and 2, the conquering strength of the lion. God will help them to overcome like lions and then bring fruitfulness to the world like the dew that watered Israel's crops. Israel will triumph over the enemies through the power of the Lord. Psalm 133, verse 3. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Only the remnant would be saved from the people of Israel. Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverances, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Isaiah 1:9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Romans 9:27, Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the Israelites be like the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved. In Micah, both Israel and Judah were guilty of sins that violated God's law and grieved God's heart. They ignored the warnings from God's messengers. They were warned that they would be judged and destroyed by their enemies, but they would not listen. The Babylonians destroyed their temples and land, killed the young men and women. Many were exiled to Babylon. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 through 21. In the last days, Israel would return to her land, and God would prepare them for new life. God would purge the land. He would destroy all their military defenses, things that they trusted, instead of trusting the Lord. He would destroy their witchcraft and tear down all their strongholds. He would eliminate all idolatry from the land. Micah chapter 5, verse 10 through 15. In that day, declares the Lord, I will destroy your horses from among you and demolish your chariots. I will destroy the cities of your land and tear down all your strongholds. I will destroy your witchcraft and you will no longer cast spells. I will destroy your carved images and your sacred stones from among you. You no longer bow down to the work of your hands. I will uproot from among you your Asherah poles and demolish your cities. I will take vengeance in anger and wrath upon the nations that have not obeyed me. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 2, on that day I will banish the names of the idols from the land, and they will be remembered no more, declare the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. Israel would now seek to please God and obey his laws. God did not cast aside his people. Romans 11:1, Apostle Paul says, I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. One day God will gather the unbelieving Jewish nation to their land, cause them to experience great suffering, and then reveal himself to them and give birth to a new nation. God's prophets saw that day and tried to convince them, but they would not listen. They had trusted in chariots and horses and multiplied them. As Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. God will cut off their horses and destroy their chariots. They depended upon their fortified cities for their security, but God would destroy their cities. They depended upon the advice of their diviners and fortune tellers, but God destroyed them and demolished their strongholds, destroyed their witchcrafts and carved images. Those who stand against the gospel of Christ and continue in league with their adulteries and witchcrafts shall fall under the wrath of God. Verse 15 of chapter 5, I will take vengeance in anger and wrath upon the nations that have not obeyed me. Christians today look for Jesus to return, establish his kingdom. Are we ready for his return? We concluded chapter 5 of Micah and lesson 5. We will continue with chapter 6 in lesson 5. God, may God bless you all.